Stay tuned for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. We the people. Let's go, Brandon. We the people.
Let's go, Brandon. We the people. Let's go, Brandon. And we the people.
Podcast for patriots. Once again, it's where the resistance meets we the people. This is where we stop the march to Marxism being led by Chairman Joe and by Cacklin Commie Harris. We are joined in that fight, in that battle, with you and a fellow patriot, executive producer Joe Hosni Armacost.
Things are getting really weird, you'd have to agree.
Yeah. They've been weird for about 20 months now.
Yeah.
Ever since Chairman Joe was installed. And our associate producer and researcher, Double X, Michelle Drisella. Hello, Michelle.
Hi there.
Hello, Double X.
It's Wednesday.
That's right. It is. It's hump day. It is hump day. We're halfway to the weekend. So
no way to talk to a lady.
You know what I mean.
Did you hear that, Kit? There he is.
We are going to be covering a lot today. We've got the celebration inflation party at the White House. God, they rolled out the dinosaur James Taylor. Have been the most truthful thing said yesterday.
Yeah.
Or sung. We'll talk about that. We have a surprise caller, Ashley Babbitt's mom, outside the D.C. Gitmo in the American Gulag in D.C. We have the Federal Bureau of Intimidation after the MyPillow guy, after a New Jersey housewife. They're after everybody and anybody having to do with MAGA and Trump. We also have a Democrat who says he wants to confront and kill the MAGA movement. Carrie Lake, great couple of clips on the border. She is unbelievable. We also have good news out of New Hampshire. A Trump endorsee wins in New Hampshire and also for Senate there, Republican primary. And wait, do you hear about the New Orleans mayor? She spent nearly $30,000 in first class tickets of taxpayer money and says she won't pay it back because, well, you'll hear the reason why. It's really amazing. And this is a story kind of special to me because being from Baltimore, where we specialize in corruption and sending mayors to jail. Okay. We've had a number of mayors that have had gone to jail or have resigned in disgrace. The last mayor went to jail. I'm sorry. The two mayors ago went to jail. The last mayor, who was a garbage collector, he left, and now we got another piece of work.
She might be planning on coming here.
She might.
Please stay away.
We took the commissioner, Michael Harrison, the police commissioner, came from New Orleans. So we'll find out there. So our founding father's quote here today is from George Washington in his letter to Marquis de Lafayette, July 25th, 1785, talked about democracies and Democratic states. Here's the quote. Democratic states must always feel before they can see. It is this that makes their government slow. But the people will be right at last. End of quote. And I think what he means there is that government does, the wheels of justice turn slowly. The mechanisms of government, especially as big as it is now, move very slowly. But in the end, people will be right. People will correct whatever is wrong. And I think that's going to happen in about 55 days from now as we get to the midterm elections. Don't believe these push polls, these propaganda polls being put out by the media that say Democrats are coming back, that they're going to at least, you know, cut their losses in the House and probably hold on to the Senate. That's the conventional media leftist wisdom. That ain't happening. Now, when you see what's happening out there in the other polling data that I've been looking at, and especially with the economic numbers, which are just horrific. So I'm going to ask you guys, who do you think was recently identified as the biggest problem, if you will, in the country, the biggest, most divisive force in the United States today? Take a wild guess.
Trump.
Oh,
that's a good guess, but no, it wasn't Trump. It was the other guy, Chairman Joe. Trafalgar poll: 60% of voters say Biden has divided the nation, 20% say he's united it, and 20% are unsure. You better go have a saliva test if you're unsure about Joe Biden. This is a guy that came This is the guy that came in promising to unite us, promising to, he wasn't going to be a president of the red states, the blue states. He was going to be a president of these United States. And everything he has said and or done has been divisive. And in fact, I would take it one step further. He's not only a divider in chief. I believe he is a domestic enemy. I know it's a very harsh statement. It's a very strong statement to make, but how else can you characterize this guy and what he's done to this country? As far as he's destroyed the economy. He has wiped out our sovereignty being no border to the south. He has destroyed our energy policy to the point now where they want to end fossil fuels and leave most of us who are driving gas-powered vehicles on the outside looking in. You look at all the policies that he put in place and our schools. Look at our schools. Our schools are being ruined from inside out, and they're out to destroy our founding fathers and all of the institutions that have made this country. Our military has gone woke. It's so bad. Do you realize that the military now, and Joe, you probably know this because of your son being in the Marines, and maybe he talked about this, maybe not, but the Pentagon now is talking about food stamps for some military families.
Hadn't heard that yet. No.
Yeah. Well, that's out today. I think it's E1. Is that the rank, of private, first class in, the military makes, you ready for this? $24,000 for the year. Okay. So this idea about $15 an hour, isn't that about $30,000, if I'm not mistaken? $30,000 a year is 15. Yeah. We are paying our military less than minimum wage. And then we're now asking them in these tough economic times, because inflation has hit the PX. It's hit everything right now. Gasoline, yeah. You name it. We're telling our armed forces, the men and women of our military, to apply for SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, otherwise known as food stamps. I would, you know, again, that makes me ashamed. Yeah. That's making me ashamed. I'm not ashamed of my military or my country. I'm ashamed of my government. My government is just blowing this thing big time.
So I thought they have a commissary that they go to.
They do.
I mean,
this is the PX or commissary.
Yeah.
But again, there are real costs to them as well. They're not getting a discount just because they might, get the same kind of thing that a Costco or a BJ's or another wholesaler might get. But it's still all the prices are up.
True.
What do you hear the numbers? Here in just a second. So if you're making $24,000 a year and your gas prices have gone up and your grocery prices have gone up utility prices have gone up, et cetera. If you're living on post, it might be different, or on base.
Right.
If you're living off base, then it's a serious problem for a lot in our military. Mm-hmm. So just thought you would be interested in hearing that. All right. Yesterday at the White House, we had the, on the very day that the inflation number came out, and it was 8.3%. We'll get into comparison here in just a second. But Chairman Joe actually called it party. It was a celebration at the White House. James Taylor was rolled out there. God, he looks like he's about 110. Oh, my God. A little trivia question. He was the first one signed by the Beatles' Apples album. Did you know that?
No.
James Taylor. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the first act they signed.
Great singer. I love his music, but I saw him
music.
Up there.
I hate his politics, but I do love his music. And he was sounding a little shaky yesterday. You'll hear some of that in just a second. But anyway, so 8.3%, they were expecting 8% inflation, and the stock market went in the crapper. 1,200 point for the worst day since June of 2020. But Chairman Joe, he was all fired up. And he says, look, you can't... You know, we won this thing. This is a big victory for America.
With this law, the American people won and special interests lost. Say it again. The American people won and special interests lost. Lower health insurance costs. Lower energy costs for millions of families. I'm going to take the most aggressive action ever, ever, ever to confront the climate crisis and increase our energy security ever in the whole world. And that's not hyperbole. That's a fact.
Everything that comes out of his mouth is hyperbole. It's unreal, isn't it? So the other thing I wanted to point out is that he says America won. Does it feel like we won to you?
No, not at all.
I mean, this is, I mean, you do man on the street interviews. I don't care whether you're in New York or Los Angeles or New Orleans or in, you know, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Everybody's feeling this pinch. Everybody's feeling it. And let me tell you why. When Trump left office and Joe Biden came in, inflation was 1.4%. Now it's 8.3%, meaning that even if your wages go up, if your wages, let's say you got a 5% increase, well, it gets wiped out. 8% inflation, 8.3. So even if your wages are up, and the wages up, I think, slightly, then it gets wiped out. It gets eaten alive by this, by inflation. When Biden came in, a gallon of gas was $2.05 a gallon. It is now $3.71. And we'll get to the reason why. On this is a national average. Obviously, in some places, it's lower, in some places, higher. Median household income. Let's take a look at that number for a second. When Trump was in office, 2017, up to when he left in early 2021, when he came into office, the average median household income, meaning the average money that a household brings in, $58,849. When he left, $68,400. So Trump raised the standard of living, coming out of a bad economy and then suffering a pandemic, and coming out of that, still raising the average median household income by $10,000. Joe That's Biden, awesome. In his first year, average median household income dropped $1,000 to $67,400. So this is the real pinch we are feeling right now. But Biden says, no, America's doing just fine.
Today offers proof that the soul of America is vibrant, the future of America is bright, and the promise of America is real. It is real. It is real.
It is, well, the promise is real. I mean, who can disagree with that? America's promise is always real. But the person who is destroying that promise is Chairman Joe and his policies. The future is not bright if we continue down this path. And this is all being done intentionally. This is not incompetence. This is not by accident. This is how you transform America. This is what Barack Obama promised 5 days before he was elected in 2008. And he's running the show now through the empty vessel called the Chairman Joe. All right. So we've got that part. And then this is the victory lap that kind of is ironic. Is talking about gas prices and how he personally is responsible for bringing gas prices down.
For all the criticism I got for gas prices, bringing they're down more than $1.30 a gallon since the start of the summer.
Yeah, well, who ran them up?
Right.
Who ran up the gas prices?
Well, Janet Yellen was saying that they're expected to go back up again. That's number one. Plus, he is using all of our strategic oil reserves.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. The numbers there are very scary in just a second. But did you know if you do the shopping or if you go shopping in your household, the CPI index released yesterday by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, food inflation, the worst since 1979. Again, everything is, you take a look at the price of gasoline's up 25%, electricity rising 16%. And by the way, when they reset the rates in October, it's going to be even worse. Price of food is 11.4%. So you get all these increases across the board, your wages and your paycheck can't keep up with it. Uh-oh. So now Americans are having to make decisions. What do I cut out? Do I cut the cable bill? Do I cut out the landline? Do I travel less? Do I, you know, and every household's going through this. Where do you cut? And then pretty soon that collective mindset of cutting in order to survive and provide for your family is going to drag the economy down even further.
I mean, I need a new car. I really do. Jay will tell you. I mean, it always has something wrong with it, but I will not, I'm done paying for it. I will not put right. and buy another car right
Have
now.
Have you thought about a different driver?
Yeah. Maybe I have a little lead foot. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to get worse. You know what's coming this Friday? There's a potential railroad, port, and hospital worker strike. So you see the supply chain. Look, he broke our energy policy. He broke our border. He broke our supply chain. He broke the baby formula shortage, for instance. I mean, everything this guy touches turns to crap. And it's amazing. And he's out there celebrating at the White House. There's cackling Kamala yesterday.
Today, we are gathered to celebrate another historic step forward for our nation.
Yeah, that's a step forward, all right. The step forward into oblivion, into destruction. And that's exactly, she's on board with all of this. I got to tell you, hearing these people just take such glee. They were giddy yesterday. Not because what they're going to do. Look, the Inflation Reduction Act should be called the Inflation Production Act, because all it will do is produce inflation. They're giddy about finally getting their climate change crap through Congress, and that's why they're so happy. Here's a crazy Nancy.
Mr. President, thank you for unifying and inspiring a vision of a stronger, fairer, safer future for all, for our children. Your extraordinary leadership has made this glorious day possible. That's an applause line.
Or else.
Chuck U. Schumer, he was there yesterday as well. I got told it was a big party. Again, they all their little party hats on. Again, I'm surprised they didn't give Joe one of those little horns, you know, those little clown horns so he could blow, so that he could stay upright for the moment. But here's Chuck U. Schumer celebrating inflation.
From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank every one of my Senate Democratic colleagues who made the Inflation Reduction Act happen.
Now, the person that wasn't there yesterday, you mentioned her earlier, Michelle, was Janet Yellen. Yeah. Janet Yellen wasn't there, maybe because she would have been the skunk at the party.
So inflation is way too high, and it's essential that we bring it down. And that's something that Americans feel every day. And I think it's what's causing them tremendous distress. And of course, that is President Biden's, our administration's top economic priority to do that.
What, to cause stress? I mean, that sounded to me like what she said here. But when you look at it, the numbers out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, that was set up, I think, back in what, the early 50s. And that is, again, these are, we buy oil, and Trump did a great job of this, buying it at when it was like almost negative dollars per barrel. But he did say he allowed the oil companies to make a little bit of a profit. So he bought it like cents on the dollar. And he built up our Strategic Petroleum Reserve to the point where, you know, it was stock full. This week alone, 8.5 million barrels were withdrawn from the SPR, the biggest weekly drain in history. And now it's getting to the point where people, the Pentagon and others, are saying, whoa, wait a minute, this is beginning to be a national security risk. Because God forbid there's an energy crisis. Look what happened to Europe with Russia right now. Russia, stop giving them oil, stop giving them gas. They're all going to freeze their backsides off this winter. We don't want that for Americans, but that's where we're going to be unless we stop withdrawing from the SPR. And the only reason why there's no energy crisis here, there's no energy shortage here, the only reason why is that the left, Biden knows that high gas prices are a trigger point for the midterms. If you go in the midterm elections with $5 a gallon gas, there will be a bloodbath. They will be completely wiped out. So the only thing they could do is make sure, and two things have happened here. People are driving less. As I said earlier, they're adjusting their budgets and making sure they're not going on vacations or going on staycations. If they do a trip, it's only for a short trip, an hour away or something, to go visit a local site, maybe an overnight somewhere. But people aren't going on the big vacations because of the gas and because of the economy. So he knows he had to get those gas prices down. And by releasing a glut of oil onto the market, that created more supply than demand. And therefore, now we're down on average $3.71 a gallon from almost $5 a gallon just about 90 days ago. So that is, and again, that is a risk to our national security and our strategies there. All right, so James Taylor was invited to the White House yesterday as part of this big celebration, and he sang Fire and Rain. We'll talk about the significance of the lyrics in a moment.
Down on me, Jesus, you gotta help me to make a stand. Just gotta see me through another day.
See me through another day of this economy. Oh, my God.
My body's aching and my time is at hand.
It could be the country's time or something.
I won't make it any other way.
Very uplifting, isn't it?
I have seen fire, I've seen rain.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. The country's on fire and he's raining on the, you know what the song's about? Either one of you guys know what fire and rain's about?
I heard that it's about heroin addiction and suicide.
Yes. So, it was probably the only truthful thing. The Democrats are addicted to spending. That's what's causing the inflation. And they want to preside over the suicide of the United States of America.
James sounded like a Phoebe.
How old is he now? He's got to be close to 80, I'm thinking.
That's what I was thinking, late 70s. Yeah.
I think he's late 70s, but again, not everybody ages well. And of course, all these rock and rollers, I mean, they dabbled in a lot of psychoactive stuff.
So. Dabbled, yeah.
All right, so that was JT. That was at the White House yesterday. Fire and rain. Addiction and suicide right before Biden's speech as the economy tanked by 1,200 points. You couldn't have scripted it any better if you were. I'm just telling you, these people are doing this on purpose. They're telling you what they're doing. And so you should believe them. Well, you should believe every word they say when they say they're going to do, except for the propaganda. Hey, I was a KJP yesterday that said, oh, we're making progress on the economy. They didn't say it was positive progress. They just said they were making progress.
And they're so stupid, because why would you schedule a celebration on the day that these inflation numbers are coming out? Like, that was just crazy to me. Well, they had to know.
They thought it was going to be better. They put all their eggs in the basket of 8%, which it was still down a little bit from July, but they thought it would be coming down in total. But instead, it went the opposite direction on them. And that's the reason why they set it up.
They
botched just about everything. They botched the Afghanistan withdrawal. You think they're going to throw a party at the right time to celebrate the Inflation Reduction Act? I think maybe the Afghanistan withdrawal was, never mind. I don't want to go there because people died that day. So that would be an inappropriate analogy. 13 U.S. servicemen. All right, big doings yesterday outside the American Gulag in Washington. Mickey Whithoft is the mother of Ashley Babbitt, who, you know, was murdered that day by a Capitol Police officer. And for a long time now, she's been holding a vigil outside the prison, calling attention to the plight of the political prisoners being held well over 615 days now. And President Trump has been keeping an eye on this. And the former president called in and talked to Mickey Whithoft and those who were gathered outside the J6 prison.
Well, Mickey, it's an honor to be with you and to everybody listening. It's a terrible thing that has happened to a lot of people that are being treated very, very unfairly. We love Ashley, and it was so horrible what happened to her. That man shot Ashley is a disgrace. And then he goes on television, and it looks like he was actually bragging about it. There's never been a thing like this has happened in our country. And I just want to tell everybody that's listening, we're with you. We're working with a lot of different people on this. And we can't let this happen. This has never happened before. You look at all of the riots that took place for the last long period of time, not just in 2020, the last long period of time, and almost nothing has happened to those people. And what they're doing here is a disgrace. It's a disgrace to our country, and it just cannot be allowed to happen, and it cannot be allowed to continue. So I just want to say to everybody, everybody's working on it, and I very much appreciate, Mickey, you're asking me to just speak to everybody, but we cannot allow this to happen to our country. So God bless everybody. We are working very hard.
The phrase I wanted to focus in on there, we're with you, we're working with a lot of different people on this, and I hope he's right. Because he is paying attention to this. The speakers, by the way, outside were blaring in front of the prison. So hopefully some of the political prisoners did hear him, in fact. So that is something. The problem is there are just not enough America First members of Congress. They're going to hold a press conference on Thursday of this week, either on Capitol Hill or outside the prison, maybe a half dozen or so, maybe even more members of Congress to, this is just, as I've said repeatedly, not to have bail, not to have a trial date, to be kept in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. And the 1 hour that you get, many times it's spent with their families or their attorneys. Again, no matter what you think of them, no matter what they've been accused of, look, if they've assaulted a police officer or they vandalized or they stole something, fine. They deserve bail and a trial date. And if guilty, a jury of their peers. But the problem is many of them, like Dr. Simone Gold of Frontline Doctors, she was just released this week. All she did was walk in and deliver a speech on a bullhorn. She didn't touch anything or anyone. That's all she did. She walked into people's house and the Capitol Police let her in.
Yeah.
And she was given 2 months in jail. And now you've got dirtbag Lindsey Graham and other GOP rhinos like Mike Rounds and Kevin Cramer saying the idea that Trump would pardon the January 6th protesters was a bad idea. No, it's not. He's trying to point out the injustices that Americans and MAGA supporters and others have been subjected to since during this reign of terror, because that's what it is. This is a reign of terror. If Lindsey Graham is, you want to talk about bad ideas? You know, this week he came out with the idea that we're going to federalize the abortion law and ban it for all 15 weeks or beyond, except with exceptions for rape, incest, and threat to the mother's life. And what have we been saying since the Dobbs, Jackson, Roe v. Wade decisions came out? We've been saying that this was going back to the states. Let the states decide. Lindsey Graham now wants to ruin that whole narrative and say, oh, yeah, we're going to, at the federal level, we're going to ban abortion. I don't think he wants us to win. I really don't. I think he along with Mitch McConnell and a bunch of other rhinos, are hoping that we indeed lose. The Stasi FBI, the Federal Bureau of Intimidation, targeting MyPillow CEO and founder Mike Lindell yesterday and seized his phone, Lindell talks about, that would be something, he seized his phone.
Yeah. From his pillows.
They took his phone right out of his pillows. It was contraband. And he talked about it on his Frank Speech TV.
Well, everybody, welcome to the Lindell Report. And I guess I have my own breaking news tonight. This afternoon, I went down hunting in Iowa for the early teal season with my friend this morning at 4 a.m. We got up, headed down to Iowa. We are coming back, and we stopped to go through a Hardee's in Mankato, where I was born, in Mankato, Minnesota. And cars pulled up in front of us, to the side of us, and behind us. And I said, these are either bad guys or the FBI. Well, it turns out they were the FBI.
Or both.
Yeah.
And it turns out, you know, 2 weeks ago, just 2 weeks ago, remember the red sermon? Chairman Joe declared war on his political opposition. He called out American patriots as a clear and present danger to the nation. Over the weekend, we heard from Kamala Harris and Alejandro Mayorkas declaring Trump supporters the new enemy of America and as dangerous as the radical Islamofascists that murdered nearly 3,000 people on 9/11. And so, and just on a side note there, I know a lot of people are going after Pramila Jayapal from the state of Washington, a congresswoman, because she tweeted out on 9/11 to remember the 2,996 people who died on 9/11. And Kevin McCarthy did the same thing. The leader, the minority leader of the Republicans in the House, who wants to be your next speaker, by the way. Unfortunately, that's wrong. 2,977 Americans and foreign nationals died on 9/11 in New York, at the Pentagon, in Shanksville. They're counting the 19 hijacking terrorists.
Hell no.
Yes, both of them. Now, maybe they just picked up an article that cumulatively put them all in there. Maybe they didn't know. But, you know, that number has been seared in my brain for 21 years, 2977. Okay? You'd think before they sent something out like that, somebody on their staffs would have fact-checked it. And everybody's been all over Jayapal, rightfully so. But Kevin McCarthy deserves your scorn as well. Mm-hmm. We don't memorialize the murdering terrorists that hijacked those planes and killed our fellow citizens and others. Just don't do it. All right, so the names, the list of names is out that the DOJ went after with search warrants and raids, etc. They include Kylie and Amy Kramer. Amy is the one that helped set up the Save America rally on J6. Bernie Kerik, the former NYC police commissioner. Boris Epstein, attorney for President Trump. Matt Morgan, Justin Clark. Adam Jesborough, Mike Roman, RNC official Josh Finlan. Trump attorneys John Eastman and Jenna Ellis, Joe DeGeneva, Rudy G, Sidney Powell, Victoria Tensing, Cleta Mitchell, all just to name a few. Congressman, a former Congressman Lou Barletta was on this list, as was Stephen Miller and State Representative Jake Hoffman. All were paid a visit by the Stasi-like FBI. A mother and a wife from New Jersey, a suburb, told Tucker Carlson on Monday that FBI agents showed up at her door the morning after Chairman Joe's recent red sermon militaristic speech railing against extreme MAGA Republicans. And here is what Lisa Gallagher, who, by the way, is a supporter. She's a MAGA supporter. President Trump has voted for him, supports him on Facebook. She has a Trump lawn flag. But that's as far as it went. She didn't actually go to J6. Here's what she told Tucker.
I was terrified, and I'll be honest with you, when my daughter woke me up telling me there were three armed FBI officers at my door, I thought she was joking, and I immediately tried to throw clothes on. I called my husband. I was crying. My knees were shaking, and even though I knew I'd done nothing wrong, after seeing Joe Biden's speech the night before, I thought, oh my God, this is political, and I was frightened.
Of course it's political.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. And imagine, you know, you got armed FBI agents showing up at your door. You're racking your brain. What the hell did I do?
I truly thought they can take me out of here in handcuffs. And I thought, yes, I'm in my bedroom. I thought, am I not coming home? So I went outside and I said, gentlemen, you're scaring me. And they proceeded to tell me that they were given an anonymous tip that I was at the Capitol on January 6th.
An anonymous tip. That's what the FBI now bases its cause for investigations. A source is familiar with the anonymous tip. Or, you know, some of these other paid informants. We're going to hear the John Durham story coming up in just a second. I think it's time that this stuff stop. The swatting of MTG and Steve Bannon and other conservatives, these anonymous tips, probably a neighbor, probably somebody that saw the Trump lawn flag, and I'll show her, I'll get her. They ought to be tracing the phones of these individuals and find out if they've made a false accusation. They're the ones that should be charged. They're the ones that should be getting a visit from the FBI. Because on the swatting, that's very dangerous, because you could end up, if MTG answers the door with a gun, who knows? If Steve Bannon, who lives in D.C. with its high crime rate, if he answers the door with a gun, he could be taken out. So this is an absolute abuse of power. And Lisa Gallagher, really, if they could do it to the average mother and housewife in New Jersey, they could do it to anybody.
I invited them into my home so I could look at my phone and my calendar. And I have subsequently called the FBI office in Newark to just document or know for sure that it really was FBI agents at my home, and it was, and they said it was an anonymous tip, but they won't tell me anything else.
So this is what happens in every single authoritarian regime. They use, call it what you want, the Gestapo, the Stasi, the brown shirts. They go out and they use them to intimidate their political opponents, to silence dissent. And the purpose of this, okay, she didn't get arrested because, you know, they look, the FBI knows what they're doing. They have facial recognition They could have run, and they did. They've used that facial recognition to identify anybody and everybody that was inside the Capitol that day or posed a threat. They knew Lisa Gallagher wasn't there. This is sending a message, this chilling message that you will not speak out against the regime. You will not be allowed to exercise your First Amendment rights of free speech and political expression. Otherwise, you're going to get a visit from one of our agents. And then what happens is, okay, they know you're innocent, but now you got to go hire an attorney. I have been told by mutual friends that Steve Bannon already has spent millions. I heard the figure $8 million, but I can't confirm it. But he has spent millions of dollars to defend himself from the full force of the United States government. Imagine if that were you or me. And that's why General Flynn copped a plea, because they were trying to bankrupt his son and his family. He fell on the sword so his family could survive to live another day. This is not acceptable. That's why you have to fight. You have to go out in 55 days. I don't care. Drag your friends and your family. Get them registered. Get them to these polls. You've got to stop this madness, and it has to be stopped now. In fact, I'll leave it up to a Democrat. A Democrat, Tulsi Gabbard, who has identified the real threat from within, the real domestic enemies of the United States. Here's Tulsi Gabbard, former congresswoman from Hawaii.
There is a domestic threat to our democracy, and it is a very serious one, but it is not in the hands of a few powerless Americans who are pissed off and frustrated that our government is failing us. It is the threat coming from some of the most powerful people in our government, some of the people that I've talked about in the Biden administration, the national security state apparatus that's being weaponized against our fellow Americans again because they voted against the president or because they disagree with his policies, willing to sacrifice our country and our constitution and our democracy so they can hold on to power. We need to be clear-eyed about this and not allow it to happen. We can't fall for it.
No, we can't. That's a Democrat, folks. Democrat, yep. Identifying a Democrat president and a Democrat regime as the real domestic enemy. I applaud Tulsi Gabbard for speaking out. I really do. Unfortunately, the rest of the establishment Republicans like Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, see, they're drunk with power. They don't want to give it up. George Washington gave it up. There are other people that have gone to Washington for one term and they saw what they, and they didn't like it. They went home. And some people just get corrupted by this. The old phrase is absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I think too, it's the whole one world order that has everybody drunk with the power too. I think, you know, the United States is like that last key to the one world order.
I think you're right. I think we're the last domino.
Mm-hmm.
We are the last domino to fall. And that's something that we need to make sure that word gets out there, because the Chi-Coms, they don't care what globalists are going to do. Chi-Coms right. are going to do, they flip them the collective bird, same for Russia and their other countries as well. But the European Union, these globalists like King Charles, like Klaus Schwab at the WEF, like George Soros and others in power, Mitch McConnell, he's a globalist. He's got global shipping business with his Elaine Chao, his wife, and her Chinese connections.
And that's why their rhetoric's getting louder and louder with the World Economic Forum and the climate change and all that.
Right. So in any event, that is very disturbing. Equally disturbing is yesterday, Special Counsel John Durham moved to unseal a motion regarding the false statements being made regarding Igor Danchenko. The motion provides new information on the details of Danchenko's lies to the FBI and further information that former special counsel or investigator Robert Mueller ignored, another globalist puppet. Basically, the Durham shocker is Danchenko was a paid FBI informant. Danchenko was on the FBI payroll as a confidential human source from March 2017 through October 2020. What's even worse, the FBI made him a paid informant, trying to what's called bury the witness. They didn't want him to be available. They tried to make sure nobody would gain access to him. And so what'd they do? They hired him as a confidential human source. So he was not able to be interviewed by those investigating. And Durham kind of got to the bottom of it. So we'll see what comes up, what comes of this. So far, low-hanging fruit, Kevin Kleinsmith, no big deal. The other guy that was indicted, he got off. He was acquitted. And so this we'll see what John Durham is able. But I just there's a pattern here. And the pattern is, to me, that the FBI has been used, has been co-opted by the top, Obama holdovers, and there are lots of them in the Justice Department. After 8 years of Obama knowing what he was going to do, he thought maybe Hillary Clinton would pick up the ball and run with it. They didn't foresee Trump being able to do as well as he did in 2016. So they had to put the insurance policy was once he won, then they had to do everything they could to take him out, and they couldn't. They tried. They tried through two impeachments. They're trying through lawsuits. They've accused him of just about everything under the sun. But Trump has been too smart for him, except he didn't see COVID coming and didn't see the mail-in ballot where the election was rigged and then stolen from him. Hard to plot and plan for every possible scenario. And that's what happened to Trump in 2016. So that being said, we'll see where John Durham ends up with this. You're hopeful, but you don't expect it. The swamp is very powerful. It is deep. It's going to take years to get our country back, but it starts in 55 days. This is where it all starts. This will be the second shot heard around the world. Up in New Hampshire, want to say congratulations to Caroline Leavitt, the first America First candidate endorsed by Trump over Matt Maurer, a swampy establishment type. And she kind of blew him out in the first district of New Hampshire. So she's got a tough race against leftist Chris Pappas coming up in New Hampshire. So we wish Caroline all of, she's a 25-year-old spitfire. She really is. And she's America First all the way. And she had a great answer. And maybe we'll play, I have some audio, maybe towards the end of the show. We can squeeze it in. But she talks about why America First, why that message wins and resonates with both Democrats and Republicans. Speaking of resonating, Carrie Lake, she had a couple of great clips the other day regarding what's happening on our southern border. Take a guess, just a wild guess. How much money do you think these illegal aliens are costing Americans on an annual basis every year? $20 billion.
Billion.
$20 billion with a B.
Holy cow.
$20 billion. And what are we getting for it? We're getting poisoned to death with fentanyl, some of which looks like Skittles, which our children can get a hold of.
We get shot, too, and run over.
Yeah, shot, run over. Some dying on the way here. Terrorists are getting in. We know 70 have already been apprehended. How many others got away? We'll never know. How many are just here ticking time bombs? We'll never know bombs go off.
We get all kinds of new medical problems, too.
Right.
Yes.
Exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They've just declared a state of emergency in New York over polio. Polio, which was wiped out in this country, pretty much.
Eradicated, yeah.
Yeah. Smallpox is the only one that's been completely eradicated but in the United States. But polio is, a few cases every year, but not. It's back with a vengeance. And so Carrie Lake, she says it's time to stop the reign of terror.
Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Katie Hobbs don't care. The federal government has surrendered our border to the cartels, the narco-terrorists. They have full operational control. When I'm governor, we're taking that back on day one. The media might have a field day with this one, but I'm going to just repeat something President Trump said a long time ago, and it got him in a lot of trouble. They are bringing drugs. They are bringing crime, and they are rapists, and that's who's coming across our border. That's a fact. And I just want the good people of Arizona to know that the reign of terror caused by these cartels is going to end on day one when I take office and take the oath of office. We're going to take our hand off the Bible. We're going to sign and issue a declaration of invasion and get the ball rolling and take back control of our southern border.
And no doubt that that will help. Greg Abbott will help in Texas. That will help in Arizona. But when you got a radical nut job running New Mexico and even worse in California, there are still entry points into the United States. And that's why you need the federal government to enforce the law. She can slow it down. She can certainly help the people of Arizona. And that would be her job as governor. But Carrie Lake is one of the few politicians out there willing to take on the Chi-Coms and the CCP.
Lethal fentanyl pills that look like candy to target our children. Did anybody notice that in the news? This is the CCP at work. The CCP is funneling these drugs into America through what state? Arizona. Right through our southern border. And our leaders have done nothing to stop it. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Katie Hobbs don't care. The federal government has surrendered our border to the cartels, the narco terrorists. They have full operational control. When I'm governor, we're taking that back on day one.
Now, technically, these cartels have declared war in the United States, and we're doing jack crap about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're poisoning America. They're sending in illegal guns, illegal drugs. They're sex trafficking. They're human trafficking. We ought to have a military presence on our southern border and take out these cartels. I don't give a damn if Mexico doesn't like it. Then fix your own problem. They're coming from your country, these cartels. Actually, they're based out of Colombia, but they're using your country, Mexico. They should be. They're narco-terrorists. They're foreign terrorist enterprises, FTEs. They should be designated as such. I think President Trump will do that if he gets back in office. So we got a new study out, and look, we've been doing this a long time. We're in the smack dab in the middle of the pandemic. And we've been fighting the jab, fighting much of the false propaganda that is still being regurgitated by people like Lockdown Larry in the state of Maryland. We broadcast behind the enemy lines here in the blue state of Maryland. He's now advocating people get their boosters once again for the bivalent vaccine, where the UK now has pulled it off the shelf for 5 to 11-year-olds. And in Denmark, the Danes have said, no more. No more jab. For the Danes. New preprint study by 9 health experts from major universities showed that the jabs are 98 times worse than the virus. And the mandatory booster vaccination in college is ethically unjustifiable. And these are, you know, pretty prestigious universities. Oxford, Toronto, Harvard, Harvard Medical School, University of California, Johns Hopkins University. And they used the CDC and sponsor report adverse event data. And according to the study, for every one COVID hospitalization prevented in previously uninfected young adults, 18 to 98 actual serious adverse events have been caused. And the university booster mandates were deemed unethical by researchers for a number of reasons. You should read the study. It's in the Epoch Times if you want. Because I think that once again, we are proving left and right that this was panic. This was about control. Perhaps it was a practice run for climate change and the Great Reset, which we know is coming. And I've just learned a couple of more disturbing things about battery powered cars, because technically they're not electric vehicles. Do you ever know Toyota has not jumped in full tilt boogie yet with an EV? They've got hybrids. Yeah. They have a hybrid line. Of all their line, I think you can get pretty much in a hybrid, except for maybe the Sequoia. I'm not sure. But they've not jumped in full tilt boogie with EVs. I wonder why that is. So it'd be interesting. But we do know this. We know there's a problem on how to dispose of and or recycle the lithium ion batteries in these vehicles after they have worn out their charge or their usefulness. You know, where do you send them? You know? And then secondly, we're now finding out that the resources that are being used to develop and to mine lithium and other precious metals are destroying countries. I can't remember which. I think it was in South America. There is a There's an area of South America, I can't remember what part of the country, I just skimmed the article today, but the native tribe there is like an indigenous people, a tribe in that part of South America. There once was a great river that ran through their area, their land. That's completely gone. It's dried up.
Well, you know, SpaceX is here. We can always just send it on out into space and piss off the aliens.
Yeah.
You know,
don't want to do that.
However, we can go out there and mine some if we can find the, the proper asteroid or the proper hemorrhoid. I don't know. We got it. Whatever.
You got to make sure, first off, it's got to be lithium or lithium ion. Now, again,
yep.
They're all parts of probably in the Congo. They are raping the land in the Congo for these precious metals. The Chi-Coms are all over some parts of the world for that. I think they're talking about Nevada. So for our listeners in Nevada, I think they're talking about some lithium ion mine out there. And it destroys the land. It's unusable once they're finished going after it. So you've seen the strip mining techniques. Look, there's some, if you do it responsibly, that's one thing. But everybody is now in a rush to get these materials because they don't know how long we're going to last. We know that you ready for this? Fossil fuels are going to last us another 400 years, okay, at least. So don't you think that would be, in the year 2600 or so?
Yeah.
By which time we'd have proper electric vehicles.
Yes.
2422. That's what I meant to say. In 2422, don't you think we would have figured it out how to propel our vehicles, even if they're land based? Who knows? In 400 years, they all might be the Jetsons or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
So there is no rush for this, except for power and control.
And that whole climate crap is crap.
Yeah,
it is,
because they're destroying it.
Well, now of course.
There's
truths
out there left anymore.
Yeah.
Really?
This has been a rather inactive hurricane season, by the way. And again, it's we still have till November, so we have another 6 weeks. But I think we have, one? And it stayed out to sea?
Well,
and I'm not wishing that on anybody, but again, where's all these devastating storms and floods? And look, it's weather. You are going to have, it's cyclical. And it depends on weather patterns. All right, this is one of my favorite stories of the day. New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell is facing scrutiny over her demand for luxury travel in the name of safety. All at the cost of taxpayers. We are being told that the mayor of New Orleans demanded that she fly first class. In January, she flew first class to D.C. for $2,300. In March, she flew first class to Miami for $2,800. In June, she traveled to Switzerland, first class, for $9,800. And then, of course, a first-class trip to France, $17,000 in July. All told, some nearly $30,000 in first-class trips for the mayor of New Orleans. Why'd you go to these places? Well, all right, I understand, maybe a mayor's conference or what have you. These are the same people that locked us down and told us that we had to work remote, virtual, right?
Yeah.
And kids had to go to school virtually. Why can't they attend these conferences virtually? And to Switzerland, you think Switzerland really needed a sister city to be New Orleans with its high murder rate? New Orleans is almost as bad, I think per capita, maybe it's worse than Baltimore.
It doesn't even seem right. Anywhere in Switzerland being a sister city with anything around New Orleans or whatever. Right. I don't know what it is. It's just got a weird feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't. You're right. So she defended her sky-high travel costs, and she released a statement first saying, "My travel accommodations are a matter of safety, not of luxury. As all women know, our health and safety are often disregarded, and we are left to navigate alone.
Okay.
Anyone who wants to question how I protect myself just doesn't understand the world black women walk in." End of quote. First question to Michelle, who is a double X.
Yeah.
Okay. She played the feminism card, the woman card. So when you're traveling, do you feel that you're not safe when you're in coach?
No, I feel safe. I was going to say, I wonder how many glasses of wine she had while she was in first class.
Well, champagne, really, I think is what they serve. So you would be in coach. You would have the glass of wine. The first classers get champagne. So she plays the woman card. Then she plays the black card and saying that, again, anyone who questions, if you dare question how I'm protecting myself by flying first class at taxpayer expense, you just don't understand the world black women walk in. End of quote. Yeah, I understand the world some black women walk in. I've seen it up close and personal in the city of Baltimore. I've seen Catherine Pugh, the world that she lives in, where she did a illegitimate book deal and paid herself out of it. She went to jail. Sheila Dixon, that abused gift cards for children. And had to resign in disgrace. And then, of course, there's Stephanie Rawlings Blake during the Freddie Gray riots that said, let's give the people space to destroy. So I've seen the world of which some black women walk. And it's usually we're not safe. Okay? That's what happens.
It's true.
It really is. So there was one television station that showed up the other day at a press conference in New Orleans and asked her the question, well, there are these, you know, these folks that are questioning, Madam Mayor, about your travel and how you spent nearly $30,000 of taxpayer money on first class travel across the globe. And what do you say to people that are questioning your travel? Here was her response.
All expenses incurred doing business on behalf of the city of New Orleans will not be reimbursed to the city of New Orleans. One thing is clear, I do my job, and I will continue to do it with distinction, with dignity and integrity every step of the way. And so that's what I have to say on that.
So she doubled down. She was defiant. How dare you question me? So this is major attitude. This is what I found to be in the post-Obama era. Again, it's time we get ours. Doesn't matter how we get it, we're going to get it. And that's exactly what we see in many of these cities being run by people like LaToya Cantrell and others. And to me, by the way, the city's travel policy states, quote, employees are required to purchase the lowest airfare available. Employees who choose an upgrade from coach, economy, or business class flights are solely responsible for the difference in cost. Any reconciliation of travel expenses that results in overpayment by the city requires that the employee reimburse the city within 20 business days. End of quote. Look, if she wants to fly first class, okay. I don't have any problem with that. Just, you know, whatever the coach rate is, the city would pick up, and then you'd pay the difference.
Right.
Whip out your credit card if you didn't feel safe. Why do the taxpayers have to pay for your safety? These are junkets that have nothing to do with New Orleans.
It was her decision to run for mayor.
Right. You knew the rules when you got in. Okay, whether you wanted to be safe or not. Again, it's just amazing when these people get caught, then instead of, there's just no sense of shame anymore. That's the problem. People are, they don't. It's like Marion Barry. Remember him? I call it Marion Barry syndrome. Yes. The former mayor of D.C. caught at a Ramada Inn outside D.C. smoking crack with a hooker. Okay? And his first words was, the bitch set me up. Okay? not I'm sorry. Not this was not a good decision on my part. Don't do drugs. Just say no to drugs. No, the bitch set me up. That's what he said.
He kicked it off.
It did. That's kind of, and then he got reelected. Not as mayor, but to the city council. I think there's an HBO special on, if you want to go see it, one of some amazing entertainment into the mindset within some in the black community in like DC, Baltimore, New Orleans, Chicago. Then you got to check that out because it's amazing to me. Again, there is no sense of shame. Is Charlie Crist trying to lose to Ron DeSantis on purpose? Have you been following what he's been saying the last week?
I know.
Yeah.
I
haven't. Stuff like that Ron DeSantis is Satan and I'm Christ. Remember, because he was playing on Christ. It's Christ, but he was mispronouncing it on purpose. Comparing himself to Christ. And they said, I'm the good one. He's the evil one.
Christy Critters.
Yeah. Then he said this about whether or not do you think Florida should require the jab passport.
Oh, we should have vaccine passports. I think that's important.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to lose.
He's got to be trying to lose this thing. What idiot says something like that?
Your papers, please.
After all this. Yeah. After all this.
And now he's, and it's pretty much over, right? And so he wants to dredge it all up again. I don't know. If I didn't know better, I'd say somebody was paying him to throw the election to DeSantis, because nobody could be that stupid, right? Politically. Of course, he is a perennial loser, so maybe. Then there's Jennifer Granholm. She's still pushing those EVs.
We can't afford to maintain our overdependence on fossil fuels. And with advances in clean energy technologies, we don't have to. But how quickly we can break that dependence and accelerate the clean energy transition really depends in large part on us.
Yeah, well, we don't want it. You want to drive an EV? But did you want? She actually held, I think, stock in an electric vehicle company. Or
no kidding.
Yeah,
really. Yeah,
she did divest herself of it before she was named. Hey, did you see the Bezos booster rocket blow up the other day?
Yes, it did.
Oh. Yeah, it was unmanned. Thank God. But it was kind of neat because the booster blew up, but the capsule detached and landed safely on the ground. So that safety feature now that we've learned from the Challenger in Columbia. But obviously, Elon Musk, he must have been thinking, hey, need some scientists? I'll send a few over to know what they're doing. But Bezos is upset that his booster blew up and people are making unfortunate comparisons.
I'm Jeff Bezos. Oh, look away. I don't want you to see. My rocket has failed. I regret to say it has brought my mood down considerably. And my confidence has been left shattered. I swear, this has never happened to me before. I just have a lot on my mind, you know. Bills and whatever. My advisors tell me I shouldn't feel so bad because it happens to a lot of guys. Oh, poppycock. As I've previously asserted, I am Jeff Bezos. It doesn't happen to me. So, to ensure proper maintenance of my rocket mojo, I've started taking a little blue origin pill. See? Problem solved quite easily. Blue Origin will be back in the saddle in no time. I mean, come on, people. It's not rocket science.
It's rocket mojo. I know. All right, it is time for our cringe moment of the day, and none other than Hillary Clinton. Listen to who she compares Crazy Nancy Pelosi to.
I think Nancy Pelosi is the gutsiest woman in politics right now, because she has shown through all kinds of turmoil and challenge what it means to, somewhat like the queen, to be drawing an analogy here, get up every day, put on those high heels she wears, suit up to fight for the values and ideals that she strongly believes in.
My name is John Fetterwoman.
Now I'm wondering, was she comparing Nancy Pelosi to the Queen while the Queen was alive or dead? I'm not quite sure. She didn't clarify that. Well, that is just that's crazy. The Queen Elizabeth was a conservative. A lot of people don't know that, but she was. Unfortunately, her son, King Charles, is an absolute stark raving mad lefty. So hopefully the people of Great Britain will be better off. Hopefully he'll give up that climate change nonsense and the Great Reset, but somehow I doubt it. All right, it is time once again for the unhinged moment du jour.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States. President Sullivan,
adjust the microphone as a tall man. Yes, yesterday at the White House inflation celebration party, Chairman Joe was full of himself. He was all jacked up. Maybe they gave him a little too much Prevagen.
Think about what you'd think about at the time. Think about how you'd feel if you didn't have the insurance and didn't have the money. It's wrong. It's not who we are.
Come on, man.
Yeah, think about what you think about. Think about it. Think about what you think about, and then think about it. And get back to me what you were thinking. What a complete major league climber he is. All right. Left my sheet here with Pockets of Patriots. I have noticed. All right. I found it. Oh, there it is. It's buried under my stack of stuff. DC, number one.
Okay.
All right. Top 10 for the first time, Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Oh, right.
Yeah, how about Cheyenne, Hagerman country? It took out Liz Cheney. Love our Patriots in Wyoming. Great state. If you've never visited, you should. And again, Cheyenne's beautiful. Jackson Hole, beautiful. Laramie, very nice part of the country. First time on the overall list, Guntersville, Alabama. The Crimson Tide dodged a bullet down in Texas last weekend. And our foreign or outside the United States, first time weighing in, Panzano Veneto in the province of Treviso, Italy.
All right.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank
you for listening. Don't forget to download, listen, share the wealth, subscribe. Please subscribe. That really helps us out and drives the numbers up. And again, we have 55 days to go. Do your part. Do your part and get this message out to like-minded Patriots, family, friends, colleagues, coworkers, your fantasy football team members, you know, and anybody and anyone that you can think could would enjoy listening to the truth. This is where we never are afraid to tell you the truth, good or bad, here on the show. So thanks again. We appreciate that. And you can contact us at DeSeanCaseyShow@gmail.com.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
And thanks once again to our executive producer, Joe Hosny-Armacost.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Sean.
And to our associate producer and researcher, Michelle Drusella, double X.
My pleasure.
And also to our other associate producers, Hunter and Logan Casey. We're back on Friday with our Outrages of the Week. And until then, remember to stay free.